Hey, what's happening? Thank you for clicking play. This is episode 315 of the IT in the D Show. Guests this week include Paul Blatt. He's a COO of JVC Human Services, talking about helping people in Michigan with disabilities find gainful employment. Some awesome stories about working with Amazon and some other companies, and a cool new program they just launched. Also, Nick Britsky's in the house, nickdrinks.com, talking about Detroit Cocktail Week. And he brought cocktails. This is going to be one of those. Hey, Evan Lyall of Roush Enterprise, fan of Michigan. As he put it, the future of mobility is going to be decided right here in this state. Visit Planet M to find out why. That's planetm.com. That's .com. .com.
.com?
.com.
.com.
Not .net.
.org?
Planet M.
.business?
Dot, no,
I think we went through every TLD this weekend.
We did. PlanetM.com. Davey May, fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
Detroit! No! No, please! Anything
but
that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Time Hawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the ladies' man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds. What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome
Welcome back. Thank you once again for hanging out with us. This is episode 315 of the one and only...
The Syracuse episode. I remember that.
Stop the talking episode. Of the IT and the
D. So sorry.
This is the IT and the D show. We're hanging out in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm Bob the Sales Guy. That was Dave the Geek with the dumb comment. Randy, I'm doing the Twitters, is doing the Twitters right next to me. Find us online at itinthed.com and do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
All right. So, hey, what do we got? We got this Thursday. We're going to be at Embrew, one of our casual networking events. Downstairs, pinball tables, video games, phenomenal pizza, great drinks, great peeps. It's one of our favorite hangouts.
Yep.
I won't be there. Sorry. Surprise.
Then you don't get
there. Are the Backstreet Boys back again?
I'm going to see Camelot at Harpo's. So, if I'm not back.
I'm sorry. You're going... talk about that later. I have questions. Wait, like the band or the musical or
the band, Camelot with K, Power Metal.
That's that crappy plays on the jukebox that goes for 9 minutes. It sucks.
No, that's Dragon Force.
Which brings us to the recap of the weekend. So we hung out at Monroe Comic Con. It's a great show. Gary, love you, man. You put on hands down, one of the we love one-day cons. Like, it's... It's not
one
too
day,
much.
8 hour. Class.
Yeah, it's not too much. It's not too little. And of course, Ming was in town that we alluded to. So Thursday night was a train wreck. Saturday night was a train wreck. But yeah, so Saturday night we almost got killed in Monroe because there we were in a dive bar off Main Street in Monroe, and it's what like
Dave. This wasn't just a dive bar. Next to the name of the bar, there was a 7-Up sign on the marquee.
7-Up sign.
Right, like, because you've seen a new 7-Up sign lately.
I mean, there might have been. No, so, like, Bob and I, okay, like, we kind of know how to read a room. And so we figure out, okay, this is the demographic. What can we play that will annoy them, but still might at least be somewhat enjoyable, or at least not make them want to kill us?
You're talking about playing the internet jukebox bars. Yeah.
So... That's us. No. Randy pulls up his phone, fires up the internet jukebox app, plays a nine-minute death metal anthems, and then every gay anthem on the planet. So it goes from like, death, murder, kill, rah, rah, do you believe in love? And these guys at the front of the bar, and we're sitting in the back of the bar, these guys at the front of the bar are just shooting daggers at us with their eyes. And I'm like, this is where we die. Like, we're at the Uptown
nope,
bar.
I would have pushed – they would have came up. I would have pushed Randy first, and I would have ducked out the back door. For playing that crap you played, you deserve
we
every
– died. But, yeah, so – but shout out, thank you to William Zabka and Martin Cove, who weren't even there, and yet still, I think, saved our lives, because I walked out front to smoke once, and this girl walks out, and she's like, yeah, my boyfriend and his friends really effing hate you. Hate you guys because of all the music that's playing on the jukebox, but they really love your hoodie. I was wearing the Cobra Kai hoodie because it's really friggin' cool. And I was like, oh, well then, hey, and I go to pull up the picture of us hanging out with, you know, Zabka and Cove wearing the hoodie and hanging out with them, just as her boyfriend walks out and she's like, oh my God, you got to see this. And the boyfriend goes, oh my God, you guys are the coolest guys ever. We should, let's go. I'll buy you a beer. Let's go. That, ladies and gentlemen, is diffusing a situation and reading people.
Take note, Randy. And hats off to the China Express of Monroe.
Oh.
This is I've never had that kind of we had about 15, 20 people at a big table.
Yep.
And they just kept bringing food and bringing food.
Oh, it was crazy.
And bringing food.
No. Bringing great food.
Oh, it was
bringing great food.
One of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
Bringing great food.
Yeah.
And bringing great food. We're not in Monroe all that often. I kind of like the town. I kind of like that place.
I drove the river thing and they had a couple of waterfalls. It's a great town.
I kind of want to find an excuse. Well, and we got the studio with, you know, Kyle and those guys in Toledo, which is right down the road, and had like four different people ask about opening up a Toledo opening up a studio in Monroe.
Every city we go, open up a studio. Okay.
Well, no, it's what are you going to pay for?
So it's been kind of a nutty week. I think I'll dive right in with some security stuff. And this one kind of bothered me a bit. And it's basically the headline, hackers can add or remove cancer from CT scans.
Remotely.
Right.
That was the weird part, is they can get remote access to these CT scan machines and completely alter the results.
So like they're saying CT scanners are typically managed through a picture archiving communication system that gets scans from the scanner, stores them, and supplies them to radiologists, right? So the problem is that those servers are often left exposed to the internet, right? If you look at any
– and they're all wide open, facility, default, right. Everything. Yeah.
It's What's a password?
Once the attacker can intercept traffic from the CT scanner, they can attack the framework to manipulate the images before they reach the radiologist. You know, and here I'm thinking going, what kind of asshole? Like, you want to go steal $100,000 from a city? Great.
At least I understand the rationalization there.
Right. I'm going to add cancer to this person. Like, what do you think?
Or even worse.
What happened when you woke up this morning?
Even
this
worse, wouldn't... remove.
Right. And then,
good way to get revenge on a boss or something, I guess.
So they went through 70 scans, dropped malware on, and it said, like, cancer was removed as belonging to healthy patients. They thought they were healthy patients. And, like, after they were still informed of the attack, the radiologist still misdiagnosed the patients. So, of course, like, why would someone launch such attack? It said there's several motivation and goals. They believe that modifying someone's scan and causing a misdiagnosis can be useful for stealing someone's job, altering elections, sabotaging or falsifying research, earning money by holding the data hostage, insurance fraud, and murder or terrorism.
Suddenly it leaks that, you know, Trump's got stage 4 lung cancer.
So there you go,
because of an
folks.
Altered I can see it. All right. I'm diving into the one I want to dive into, which is WeWork.
Oh, boy.
Dude. We've talked about the cluster that is WeWork several times on the show before.
The Russian nesting doll of companies.
Yeah. That's right. They're the Wii companies now, or whatever the hell they are. So SoftBank.
Wii.co.
Yeah. They're – yeah. Wii. Yeah.
Wii.
Wii.burnmoney is what they
dot
are.
Dot pizza.
That's, yeah. Dot burn money. That's what they are. So SoftBank, who is their largest private investor, said, hey – why don't you guys take two mother may I steps back on this whole IPO thing? Because ain't nobody behind it. Ain't nobody really excited about it. And ain't nobody really want this.
Well, here's the bad part.
Nobody can understand it.
Well, to the point where they filed – like, and so like that – then they released a report that says, well, maybe we're not the $47 billion valuation company that we said we were. Maybe 20.
But maybe, here's the problem.
That's a big – That's $37 billion that you were off.
20.
Or 27.
The problem is the $47 billion, that was the last fundraising round. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the last valuation. So they got money on a $47 billion valuation.
Right. And then – but here's the kicker. Guess where they're growing?
Detroit.
Here.
Not just growing, doubling.
Yeah, because apparently they're moving into Tech Town. And taking over 91,000 square feet of Tech Town.
Yeah, there's SoftBank, their biggest shareholder that said hold back on the IPO. Yeah. They got $10 billion cash in.
Yeah. So, like, and again, like, this gets into that whole conversation we had when the IPO filing came out, which is
– what is it that you do here?
Well, not only that, but they're putting themselves into this too big to fail situation where they're taking up these huge swaths of property where if they default, the landlords really have no recourse. There's nothing they can do because they literally occupy so much space and there's so much of a single portfolio hooked up into that one building owner.
Because what are they going to? Like, you got 91,000 square feet. A, who's going to fill it? And B, then you got to chop it up 10 times. You know how much it's going to cost you to like fit everything?
Does Detroit – and I'm asking, does Detroit really need 91,000 more square feet of co-working space? Does it?
No. I don't know. Maybe. Who needs it? I don't know.
I got nothing. But then – so also on the private equity firm front, and this one I'm not really sure how I feel about. A private equity firm bought the Grand Hotel.
So let me talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
Everyone's bummed out about it. And it's like, did you know yesterday who owned the goddamn thing to begin with? And now you're like, oh, man.
I knew it was family owned. I didn't know who. Like, I will freely admit, I didn't know their name. I didn't
nobody
know any
knew,
of that.
Nobody
stuff.
Knew anything
but
about it.
But I knew it was privately family owned.
PE firms, that all they do is inject cash. They're just owning it for an investment. They're not like breaking it up and selling it off. They're not going to change anything. Like, I don't care who owns it.
I mean, one would hope not.
But everybody's, oh, what's wrong? Something's so sad. I'm like, A, how many times have you stayed there in your life? And B,
right.
Who owned it before? Yeah.
When's the last time you were there?
Yeah. Right. I'm so
maybe
sad.
The new owners will get rid of all the geraniums. Like the potted ones on the front porch are fine, but the geranium carpet or the geranium-scented complimentary shampoo or the geranium-scented complimentary body lotion, get rid of that garbage. It stinks.
Said no one ever. Like, well, what's a geranium? I don't even know what a geranium is.
I'm sorry. I can't even tell you the last time I opened any of the little toiletries that they give you in a hotel, Randy. What are you doing? Like, do you not bring your own stuff from home? What's your problem?
You still got to, you know, take it with you.
No, you don't.
No. No.
It's there. But
you don't. It's there.
It's
you steal not, robes it's, and towels?
It's not like no. The after dinner mint.
So, go ahead. One of the things that I'm kind of – it's funny. One of the things I'm kind of encouraged to do at work is – that I'm new is to kind of meet – have lunch with someone new every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of reading about it and a story popped up. It's a little older one, but it was like at the same time I'm kind of going through who to invite out for coffee or lunch.
Yep.
And apparently like Mark Zuckerberg a few years ago made it a thing to meet someone new every day. And I kind of – don't know what that means as a proclamation. Does that mean like when you go get Starbucks and you're like
– and the barista
right.
Is your someone
new? Jenny. Hi, Jenny. I'm Mark. Nice to meet you. Like, is that someone new? Like what?
No, I think in the context of what Zuckerberg was trying to do was having those I want to say at least 5 to 10 minute conversations with someone, you know, to at least, you know, understand who they are, what they do, da-da-da-da-da, go. If it's a longer conversation, great. But like at least establish the parameters of who you are and where you are in life and yeah.
So I'm just curious, is that
I
like
– granted, he just needs to like take the elevator down a few floors and can probably meet a ton of people that he's never met before.
Right, right. Yeah, in the same building. Yeah. I'm like, have you met everyone at Facebook? How many employees do they have?
Yeah.
But I'm just curious if this was A, feasible or B, like are we doing this already today? Like am I – I don't – like I was trying to think like how I run my day and am I meeting someone – am I meeting someone new every day? Maybe not someone where I get their card and call them. I'm meeting more.
No. Well, so like my thing lately that I'm trying to get better about is I think I've reached the cap on new people. Like if I meet new people, great. That's awesome. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to suck less at keeping in touch with the people I already know. Like that's like I'm trying to make sure that I touch base with at least one or two people that like I've known for a while. That life happens and you just haven't touched base for a while. I'm trying to make sure that happens because like I'm terrible at that. I mean, and you know this, like I am horrible at community. Like I get sucked up, I get wrapped up in my own world and like shit goes on and I just like I go deep and I fall off the radar. And if you're not there in the room with me, you're not there in the room with me.
Well, we're not there in the room with you anyway because you're usually on your phone when you're
not
in the room with
ever.
Me.
Whatever.
He knows I'm right.
Play Clash of Clans again. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You went. See, again, another thing I introduced him to that I'm like, it's cool because you only play like once or twice a day and it's quick. And like, no, he's already got it figured out where he can play it for like hours a day.
But you know who could be there with you? Colonel Sanders. So KFC is creating a Colonel Sanders dating sim.
What does that even mean?
You know, if you wanted to play a game where you're dating Colonel Sanders, KFC is working on the app.
Like which Colonel Sanders? Like the Norm MacDonald one?
No, it's like a one. Creepy anime looking Colonel Sanders.
It's
bizarre. I don't even understand this. Like – sure, McDonald's technology acquisition makes sense where they're buying the AI companies to help take drive-through orders, but KFC's making a dating sim for a fictional mascot?
The game's going to be available on Steam on September 24th. That's what, a week from today?
But it's got multiple hours of gameplay with a secret ending, and it has recipes, but you know they're not going to give you the 11 herbs and spices.
Chicken, grease, salt.
Yeah, pretty much.
that's
multiple hours of gameplay.
So speaking of multiple hours, let's talk about the multiple hours of hell that people had
By playing that game in a week?
No, when my payroll HR decided to go sideways.
Holy shit.
This story is creepy and scary as hell. Like, so if you're a small business, you typically, you know, you outsource your payroll, you outsource your HR, outsource all this stuff. So my payroll HR was one of the fairly larger ones, because we're talking about like millions of transactions and like tens of millions of dollars and all that kind of stuff. Apparently last Thursday, things went sideways I believe it was a veterinary clinic, where the employee started calling and saying, "Hey, my paycheck just got swiped back out of my account. What up?"
And then
it didn't stop. Like sometimes they got swiped back out two times. Sometimes they get their paycheck pulled back out three times. There was one account that somebody shared a screenshot where they were down $900,000+ because they just kept debiting the transaction over and over and over again.
Ready for this? My payroll HR employee said there was a quote unquote glitch in the system.
So there
are no worries.
Yeah, but so here's the glitch in the system, and this is why it's very concerning and why the FBI is now involved. Usually the way like ACH, the automatic, credit hold transactions and all that kind of fun stuff works is a company puts their money into an account, and then the payroll company then takes and disperses that money. What a lot of people don't pay attention to when they sign an ACH authorization form or a direct deposit authorization form is those transactions, like you are authorizing those transactions to go two ways, both into and out of your account. And so the weirdness that happens is, so with this particular case, they said they overpaid some things, and so they were trying to correct it. So then the first one, I believe it's NACHA, that's the governing body that controls all these electronic transactions. Not
Cheese
Nachos,
Company?
Not Nachos. Oh. No. And not Libre.
Oh.
They're not wrestlers with masks. No. they weren't coded properly. And so, which I would think meant that they shouldn't have gone through, but they went through. And then they submitted another round that were coded properly, and they went through. The problem being, again, company is supposed to put money into account, which is then dispersed out to the employees. When reverse ACH has happened, that money is supposed to go back into a central holding area that is not controlled by the company that is issuing your paychecks and that kind of stuff. However, go figure, something randomly just a glitch happened, and all the money that was pulled out of those employee accounts went directly to an account that was controlled by the company that then dropped offline and then disappeared, and nobody knows what's going on.
Shocking.
And yeah.
Well, the ACH system was built in, what, the 70s and hasn't been touched since then? Like, there has been no attempt to modernize it because it works. Why touch it? But clearly it doesn't work.
They say total payroll involved was $26 million, and this is the scary part. That money is gone. There's no explanation for it, and it's unclear how many workers saw reversals in their personal accounts.
Yeah. And some people are being told by their banks it's going to take them like 45 to 60 days.
Yeah, and they have 4,000 customers. Most of them are small business.
Yeah. Dude.
They say they're a fraud victim, and they're pointing to the parent company, ValueWise Corp.
Mm. Yeah, how convenient.
Yeah, no doubt.
A little bit creepy. Alabama is apparently annoyed. Or Nick Saban, the coach of the football team, is annoyed that students are leaving games early.
No. Well, here's the thing. If it's Bama versus Clemson, they're staying.
Well, yeah.
When it's Bama versus, Middle Tennessee State.
Right.
And it's 62-10.
Yeah.
Third quarter. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. So Saban's running his mouth about how they should be staying for the whole game. And so what do? They make them download an app. And what is this? They give them – I don't know what they said they were giving them for downloading this app.
They were incentivizing them to download the app.
Yeah. Then it tracks their locations.
Yep.
So the ones that are stay for the whole game against Middle Tennessee State then get access to playoff tickets and to special events. The ones that left, no. And so literally everybody's like, oh, you're – tracking. So now they're tracking them wherever they're going on campus. And like, yeah, it's the use of the app brings up lots of privacy concerns. And no shit.
You don't say.
You know, and I – yeah, is this going to be a thing now?
I mean, it's voluntary to download the app. You don't have to.
Right.
And I mean, no, but if you want access to playoff tickets or like, you know, high-end stuff, you're going to download it. Just like, you know, we always talk Google Maps. Don't track me, but you better tell me where the hell I'm going. You don't get it, you know, you don't get it both ways.
So, speaking of having it both ways, Dallas, really interesting story where basically a penetration tester was arrested for doing his job.
Well, not only doing his job, so he was – they were basically contracted by a security firm. This is a very common practice. We've been talking to hackers about this for years and years, years. He had to break into a bank in Lebanon and steal a laptop and drop stuff out of a thumb drive. Well, these guys basically got went into the Dallas County Courthouse, and they were basically social engineering, trying to get their access in, steal some crap. And the company that contracted them, like, didn't tell anyone. Like, there's a story – there's a security engineer hacker that I'm friends with on LinkedIn that commented on this. He goes, yeah, the one time this happened to me, I got – the cops arrested me, put me in handcuffs, walked me out, and then the sheriff that oversaw everything uncuffed me and said, nice work. You know, you – and then the cops were like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Well, with this one, there wasn't no sheriff outside.
Yeah.
And these guys literally got arrested and held up on, what, $50,000 bond.
Yep.
Yeah, the judicial – branch arranged the testing but didn't actually tell the sheriff's office that it was happening. So one branch of the government didn't tell the other branch that this was happening. So
that happens
all the time.
Yeah, it was with a company called Coalfire, which was a cybersecurity company, and they declined to comment.
I'm sorry. And then I'm going to go to my absolute favorite story of the week, which is the guy who knows he's getting fired. Because he just knows by the tone of the email and the phone call he got from the company that he's being fired. And so he paid some guy $200 to be his emotional support clown that he could bring with him to the exit interview and firing process.
The pictures – us talking about it doesn't do justice.
Does not do it any justice whatsoever.
You need Randy, who's going to put it up on the Twitters. Man being fired brings emotional support clown to meeting. And this, the guy's like – he's a younger clown. He's not like the creepy old man clown. And he's like acting like he belongs.
Oh, yeah.
He's just hanging out.
Oh, yeah. And the best part was
he was miming, crying.
Miming, falling down to his knees, crying and sobbing. Started making balloon animals at one point, trying to lighten the mood and make things better. I love everything about this story.
Dude, the guy's in – we got to reach out to Nuri because the guy's in Auckland, New Zealand. That's where Nuri's living. The guy's name's Joshua Jack. We got to have Nuri look him up.
Hunt this guy down. Get an interview. Get him to call in. Gotta happen.
And he did get fired.
Oh no, yeah, no, he was getting fired. Like that's that and I think the company was like, yeah, we thought it was a little weird, but you know, we give him kudos for at least making it entertaining.
Yeah, they were grateful he decided to spice up the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the guy does it as a Freddie Mercury mustache to boot when he did the selfie with the clown. Hey,
even better.
We're going to take a quick break. Speaking of clowns, we'll be back with Paul Blatt from JVS Human Services. Oh, that was too easy. This is the IT in the D show.
We'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 315. This is the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy. Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com. You want to know why? Because we are IT in the D.
and you, God, six and a half years later, you're still not.
No.
And it still makes us giggle.
We wave every time we drive by.
We do.
And we love think you. Your business plan's amazing. But speaking of legitimately amazing business plans, we got Paul Blatt in the house. He's with JVS Human Services. Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
That's quite a recovery from speaking of clowns.
I got to do them right. No, honestly, we had you in about, what, close to 3 months ago, and you kind of blew our minds with the amazing stuff you're doing. So the people that didn't listen to that episode, I guess why don't we give us a one-on-one on what JVS does and who you're helping?
Sure. So we help in workforce. A lot of work that we're doing is for people with disabilities. We have some senior services we do, but right now we're really just focused on helping the Detroit area get back to work.
And not only that, I mean, you told me a pretty amazing story before the show. You do a lot of work with Amazon.
Yeah.
And I guess talk to me about the one, like the story that stuck out to you the most.
Yeah. So in the last 4 months or so that we've been working and helping place people, Amazon's hiring them right on. And we're also working in Kroger and other stores with some online shopping. But the one individual that has found a job, 35 people have found jobs in the last few months that we've been able to place there. One individual, middle-aged, 30-something guy. I guess is that middle-aged? I think he's younger than middle-aged. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out later.
Middle-aged is like 60.
All right. So I'm young then still. That's cool. So a younger guy, he lost his arms early in life from being electrocuted. So bilateral, two prosthetic arms, and has been really struggling just managing through life. And because of this opportunity that we have, he is now working, and he is taking boxes off of conveyor belts and putting them on pallets and helping the process move. So a few weeks ago, he calls our staff or at least sends her an email, and he goes, "Hey, I just want to thank you for giving me a reason to wake up in the morning."
That's insane.
I know.
Dude, that's seriously like that total flashback to that guy that showed up to our next event after one of the pink slip parties, and he got there like super, it was at Blackfin, and he got there like super early. And we were like, "Hey, like, what's up? What can we do for you? Like, there's nobody here yet." And he's like, No. He's like, "I was at your pink slip party last month. Just want to let you know, I'm leaving the company where I just signed the offer for more money than I've ever made in my life. I've been out of work for a year. You just saved my house, just saved my car, probably saved my marriage. Just wanted to show up and buy you guys a beer and say thanks." Like, that's, yeah.
And you know, the exciting thing is obviously that he's, things are going well for him, but it's great for him to reach back out and share with us. You know, because sometimes people move on, right? It's hard to experience some of the things that people go through.
Sure.
And for him to be able to reach back and say, you know, this is working and life's really good for me now.
So what are some of the other companies that you guys are working with to place these people with disabilities there?
So for people with disabilities, we're doing a lot with Kroger right now. Okay. And they're Shipt. Is it Shipt? Is that theirs? The online shopping.
Okay. No. They have their own. Shipt is Meijer and someone else.
They're using Instacart.
Yeah. So we're placing there. So they're hiring our folks to bring them on and help them to pick all the groceries and make that work. You know, we have a lot of different things. We have folks that are working down at the airport through the professional group, janitorial cleaning that doing. We have contracts that we support people in all kinds of different janitorial, Detroit Arsenal and Cadillac Place. We have the contracts cleaning there, over 150 people.
Wow.
Working to, you know, in that very space. Cool. So a lot of different ways. The other, and the one thing that, you know, that we're super excited about is we're entering about our fourth year now of an electronic recycling business.
I was going to ask about the whole e-cycle thing. Yeah.
So the timing in which we got into it wasn't the best. I think we launched the business and the whole commodities market crashed like a month later. So it was really great. It was great for me to sell that to my board. For all my board members that are listening out there, sorry. But the reality is, one thing that we're excited is that we just reached the point of recycling, keeping out of landfills over 1 million pounds of electronics.
Wow.
Yeah. So, people and the people that we're employing, we're trying to model the program and the business venture to be like we expect all workplaces to be, so a very diverse workplace. Everybody that we employ has had some kind of barrier to employment. And it could be, we have a couple people on the autism spectrum that are working with us, a couple people with a little bit of physical disability in their legs, and so they're just doing stuff. We have one individual, a really cool story. He came to us. He was we were working with him as he was experiencing homelessness. And so he came to us as an intern, and we were working with him. And you know, he's starting his skills. He's starting to get confidence back. And he comes into work bawling. And we're like, what is going on, dude? And he's like, I just got an offer for a job.
Wow.
And it's full time with benefits. He goes, but I don't want to leave you guys. And we're like, Get out.
Fly, little bird. Fly.
Yeah. So then a month later, he comes back. He'd able to get a car. He drove up. Life had switched for him. So, you know, we're excited about what we can do with these electronics and being able to create opportunities for folks.
That's so cool.
I know, right? When we talk electronic parts now, you're talking, are you taking like old laptops and old printers and refurbishing them and then kind of selling them in a secondary market? What are you talking about when you say electronic parts?
So, we are talking about computers and laptops and monitors and printers have too much plastic, but we're taking them, we're digging them. Some of it, if it's a high cut list, you know, we can refurbish them and keep them and resell them. The other parts are we're breaking them down. And so the folks are demanufacturing them and we're selling the commodities.
Right? Okay.
So we're selling the steel, we're selling the aluminum. The processors have a lot of precious gems in them. The motherboards have a lot of stuff that you don't want in your landfill. So being able to sell each of those different components. And so we have downstream vendors. It's R2 Rio certified, which means that we have demonstrated that 99% of the materials we touch will never go into a landfill. And that we have demonstrated how we can get either destroy data or bring it down to Department of Defense standards. Where we're at right now, we have a hard drive shredder. Every hard drive we touch, we shred. So when we refurbish, we buy new hard drives and put them into those machines. But we don't want to take the chance with people's data.
So the money that you're making by recycling everything or refurbishing everything, are you using it for like for training opportunities for people with disabilities or the people that you're placing? I guess what are some of the funds being used for?
Yeah, so obviously we're paying the wages of the people that are working there.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So everybody that works for us is minimum wage or better, and you know, and growing in their field and getting those opportunities. So that's great that we'll be able to employ. I think right now we have 7 people that are doing the work for us. The profits that we gain go back to our other services. So, it could be our program that just helps to get people in the community and do inclusion activities for people with disabilities. So that extra revenue goes back to them.
So I'd be curious, what is that? What are those next steps? What is that next job that someone can get after diving in with something like this?
So some of the folks they're content with being with us, right? I mean, that's a great opportunity for them.
Some people are perfectly happy working in a call center for 30 years. It is what it is.
Yeah, but then depending on the individual, right? So sometimes that could be the guy I was talking about went to work for another recycling business that could give them benefits, right? I think really it's about creating the environment that they can learn. Everybody has a different opportunity. We have one guy that was working with us. He went into he just wanted to be working around more people, so he went and worked at a large box and is collecting carts.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot of different things that people could be doing. You know, they might hone those skills and then choose to go work for, you know, these large companies that ship things every day. You know, so there's lots of different things that people can do. But we're not really looking to train and push out. I mean, I think it's really those folks. Yeah. The more recycling, the more materials that we have just gives us the opportunity for more people to be gaining those skills.
Now, it's a good – if I'm a company, I throw stuff away or I don't know what to do with it.
Don't throw it away.
No, I mean what? How do they engage with you or what's – I guess what – do they get tax benefits? I guess talk to me through the process.
Sure. So they do have the ability to get a tax benefit. I think it's really about a business. It's the, you know, that they don't want their data floating out there. And where are they going to put it? So we're going to guarantee that we're going to secure their data. We're going to send our truck over right to their business and pick it up and bring it back to our place. If you need, a certificate of destruction to verify that your data has been destroyed, we have the ability to do that. Fees are rather minimal. If you have 1,000 pounds, we're not going to charge you for us to pick it up. We're not going to charge you for any disposal fees. But if it's, smaller orders, we'll do that. If they want to drive by our office in Southfield on Tuesdays, they can just drop it off right there.
Oh, very cool.
So the certificate of destruction. We had this one law firm that
it's like a great heavy metal song right there.
So metal.
I know.
So we had this song Randy plays.
Yeah.
Randy, you got it queued up? I don't know. All right. So we had this one law firm that, like, when we were first starting out, they didn't totally trust that we were going to do the right thing for them. But, like, it was somebody who said they should do this, and the IT guy wasn't too sure about it. So he ships over these 20 PCs over to us, and he wants certificate of destruction on all these hard drives, right? And our guys open it up and freaking out because there's no hard drive in there. And so we call right away. We're like, what's happening? We're missing this one. We just want to verify as quickly as he goes. Oh, I know. It's sitting on my desk.
Testing you?
He was totally just testing you.
Yeah, sure.
I know, right? But, he made a great story for me to tell. So that, as long as I have a good story to tell. And
when you come on podcast, right, exactly.
Yeah, every podcast I've been on.
Yeah. Exactly. So how do we engage with you? How do we work with you?
How do people find out more about the jobs and opportunities?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Where are we
looking at this?
We the
so,
people.
So they can look us up on our website, which is eCycleOps.org. I know it's a little bit tough one.
I was going to say we need to work on that one with you.
Sorry about that. Or they can go JVSHumanServices.org.
Much better.
Thank you. Yeah. So either way, they can check us out. We are so it's eCycleOps.org.
Yep. Ops with two P's.
Ops with two P's.
Oh, good God! We need that word. Yeah, we need a hyphen dot co.
Yeah, well. Okay.
Dash.
JVSHumanServices.org.
Much better.
All right.
Let's just run with that one.
And reach out. We'll get in connection with you, and we'll make that happen. Thinking about it, every order we pick up, that means we're employing people with barriers to employment. It's if you have an option, I kind of have to say that we're probably the better option of any of our competitors.
Sure. Awesome.
Cool. If there is such a thing as a competitor, right?
Well, no, honestly, I was thinking earlier, a lot of the recycle, free cycle destruction services are gone now. And so, I totally wanted to hear more about it. So cool.
Yeah. So it's we were fortunate that we were so small when everything went south that we didn't have much to lose.
Yeah.
Right. So we were able to keep it real lean while we could. And so we've been able to survive this, and we'll keep moving forward.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Paul, awesome. I definitely want to talk to you offline. There's some people I want to introduce you to. But that was Paul Blatt, JVS Human Services, JVSHumanServices.org. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. Nick Britsky from NickDrinks.com talking about Detroit Cocktail Week. This is the IT and the D Show.
We'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 3, episode 315. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, ITinTheD.com, where you will find all the things. Our last guest is definitely not our least guest because he brought booze. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Britsky is in the house from NickDrinks.com. What is going on, sir?
Hello, how are you?
Never been better in all my life.
That's good to hear.
See, you're a former podcaster, current former kind of. So
yeah.
We don't have to tell you the rules, so you kind of know what you're doing.
I pop in every occasionally.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah, not well.
All right. So you are here to promote Detroit Cocktail Week?
Yes. So this, I believe, is the fourth year. And really, it is the biggest event that happens in the cocktail world for Detroit. It's what started as just Cocktail Classic, which was a huge tasting where all the bartenders get together and show off a cool drink. Now it's a whole week of events. So it starts on the Monday. There's actually Bartender's Ball, so all these people get together and hang out and do stuff.
Hasn't that been going on for like 25 years, if I'm not mistaken?
Every day is a Bartender Ball.
Yeah. Right. Right, indeed.
But this one's official.
Okay.
And right. You can go check that out. But then there's dinners, there's happy hours, there's pool parties. And then really the whole thing culminates with the Cocktail Classic on the 4th, October 4th. So it's just such a great week because it really shows off how Detroit has become this cocktail mecca in, you know, the U.S., if not the world. You know, the tickets are reasonable. It shows off over 40 different bars in the city. All the brands get to partner up and show off. And I think the biggest thing and the reason why I would go is to go see Nick Drink's live booth that we have set up at the event.
What?
Yeah. So thank you to Podcast Detroit, which will be helping do some of the media and the engineering. But we're going to set up what I call like the CNN Situation Room, where we're going to have myself and three other cocktail pundits talking about cocktails. We're going to interview 12 bartenders over 2 hours. They're going to make drinks for us. We got lights. We got Randy on the mixer, on the ones and twos. And it should be a lot of fun.
And I'll be drinking.
2 hours.
You'll
be drinking, yes. Each bartender gets 10 minutes. Go.
And even, you know, it's funny because when you think about 10 minutes, it sounds like a lot of time, but I feel like
it's really
not. Flies.
No, that's why I was like, okay, each bartender gets 10 minutes. Go.
And they're making a drink too.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting experiment. We only did an hour last year and we tried to do 6 people and it was chaos. It was absolute chaos.
Double the time and double the people.
Right. so here's the thing. I'm a bartender. This is, I'm not an actual bartender, but if I'm getting in the mind of a bartender, if I come to something like this and like show off a drink, like that's got to be a difficult proposition because A, you want to bring something different and unique to the table, and B, you don't want to like suck.
Well, I mean,
and make like that clown put like Kool-Aid and gin. You know what I mean?
So there's 43 bars that are coming, and I've had them all submit ahead of time.
You follow where I'm going?
No, I do, and I'm selecting ones that I think are interesting. That I think either we can drive the story if they start going off the rails, or we can talk about their brand, we can talk about their bar. I mean, if they say nothing, the four of us can drive it. No
problem. Yeah. Well, I'm not even talking about your show. I'm talking about the event in general. Like,
and people want to get drunk. They don't care.
Like if a guy's just like, no, but wouldn't they get mocked? Isn't this the whole thing like peer admiration more so than people drinking your stuff?
Yeah, there's some of that. But I think there's so much to do. There's so much to see. You know, there's also this year they're adding a voting component. So you're actually going to go around and vote on some of the best bars, some of the best bartenders, some of the best booths.
So can me and Dave submit our health and mana, like our orange and our
– Oh, from PenguinCon?
Yeah. We just basically put like, you know, red Hi-C and blue.
Three giant bottles of vodka and Hi-C. That's our magic cocktail.
I mean, I guess.
People drank a lot of it.
Is there a volume component? Like if there's like – do we get to like quantity versus quality?
No, I mean – I mean, hundreds of people show up to this event. But I mean, if you think of some of the things that people are drinking right now, I mean, have you had a White Claw recently? It's basically it's booze and bubbles and a little bit of flavoring. I mean, the bar is so low for cocktails right now.
Dude, I'm not even going to dive into
it's a means to an end. I wouldn't call that
it's a tool. Exactly. Yeah, White Claw is a tool.
It's a vodka soda in a can. Mm-hmm. That's yeah.
But if you want a proper drink, come to Cocktail Classic. That's going to show off all the great drinks at Metro Detroit and show you the difference between a good drink and a White Claw.
So now when you say the great drinks of Metro Detroit, like so what are some of the reasons why Detroit is a cocktail mecca right now?
You know, I would say it kind of started back with Michael Simon's Roast, who is one of the guys that's going to be showing up. And he really took a chance on Detroit when it was kind of a little bit down and said, I'm going to
kind of a little bit.
I mean, you know,
I've been here my whole life. Yeah, it was down.
It was only up. I would say when he showed up.
When that was like one of the first. That was kind of like
that was the
when
first
the, when the Tigers signed Pudge Rodriguez, and they're like, all right, there's all right. So when they refurbed Book Cadillac, and that came in, we're like, okay,
something's happening.
Yeah. Exactly. That was kind of like almost the catalyst that started it all.
And I really put a lot on him. I'm granted, there's so many great bars that are in Metro Detroit that stuck it out and really kept it going. But I think he was that outside investment that really kind of like spice things up.
Gotcha.
And then you see like the guys at Grey Ghost, you know, coming in from Chicago and all this outside money. I think that has kind of helped show that, you know, Detroit can be this great venue. You know, once Michael came in, all these places started opening up. You saw the Oakland, you saw Sugar House. Mm-hmm. They really kicked off that craft cocktail culture. You know, the Skip or the Standby came after that. You get
bad luck.
Bad luck came, you know, came a little bit later.
Then you got the tikis.
Yep. Now you have the two tiki bars. We have two tiki bars in the city. You got Candy Bar. You got Carl's. You got all these great places that have come. It's just been this wave. It has slowed down a little bit. I feel like Detroit or this year has kind of plateaued because I feel like there haven't been a ton of closures and there haven't been a ton of openings.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we've hit saturation. I don't know.
Or at least a leveling point.
Where everyone's kind of happy because right now people are struggling a little bit for staff. You know, all the really good bartenders are kind of bouncing around a little
bit. They are like, man, being a good bartender right now is you're a mercenary and you are and making some decent money.
Yeah, I have a friend that was getting recruited every 3 to 4 months. Yeah.
It's not crazy. Like, they'll make six figures.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the wrong industry.
You don't know how to bartend, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way to go there on that one, Randy. You're hired. Jesus Christ. You have a full bar in front of you currently.
Yeah. So big thank you. So our little situation room is being sponsored by Copper and Kings, who's going to be showing off. They've been a huge proponent to
– They're new to me. What are they?
They're brandy, and they're actually out of Louisville.
Okay.
So think about making a brandy in kind of bourbon capital.
Yeah.
They have a fantastic facility, really, really great setup. And, you know, brandy was this kind of old school thing that was huge in the founding fathers. I mean, we had apples everywhere. We made tons and tons of brandy. We've gotten away with that kind of from corn, and now I think we're coming back. So you're going to see more brandies popping up. The company has done a ton. They actually make a gin with a brandy base. So I have the gin here. I also have their chocolate liqueur from this whole kind of higher-end series that they're doing. They have a pomegranate. They have an orange. They have a coffee. I mean, they're doing really, really cool stuff. So I really give them kudos. The nice thing about Michigan is back in the day, we didn't get all these cool liquors. We were almost like this dumping ground for some of the weird, awkward stuff.
We still don't. I have to go to Well, I have to go to Chicago to get the European stuff that I can't get here.
So Chicago has a different setup from their laws. You know, we have the liquor.
And I can drink at the grocery store.
You're starting to.
They're starting to here. They are starting to here.
Yeah. So it's getting better, but it took years to kind of get to this point. And so people like, you know, Copper and Kings are pushing that stuff out. So again, kudos to them. So the drink I have is the 20th Century. And this was actually something that was done on the 20th Century Limited train line. And this has gin. This has the coffee liqueur. This has lemon. This has simple syrup.
And you actually poured this on the 20th Century train line. Was that
in the 1920s? I did this.
I'm just impressed. He's actually measuring.
Yeah, I'm trying.
And he's pouring it all over.
I'm trying to remember what my measurements were.
Whatever the booze requirement is, just add another one.
Yeah, right. And then I brought my signature Nick Drink coupe glasses. Do you know the story of how a coupe glass got its name or a shape?
Those are my parents' wine glasses with a little upside down grape thing. No, I do not know how coupe glasses got their shape.
So it was said to be the shape of Marie Antoinette's breast.
Oh.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's very small. I mean, is it for scale? Is it just the shape?
I'm losing track of my count. I think that's right.
You're thinking of her boobs. I think Nick has to start over because he lost track because he was thinking of Marie Antoinette's breasts.
No, I can't. I ran out of cocktails, so you're just going to have to pretend that this is a good drink.
It's got booze.
So I guess newbie question, because we always like to ask the dumb questions.
Yes.
So there's a drink and a cocktail.
Well, so a cocktail officially has certain ingredients. So it's typically ice, bitters, liquor, juice, sometimes sugar. So like there's a traditional definition for a cocktail. A drink really could be anything. So, I mean, it can be non-alcoholic, it can be alcoholic, it can be whatever. But a cocktail typically has that blend of alcohol, water, juice, bitter, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that whole, you know, hey, are we going out for drinks or are we going out for cocktails?
If you ever say going out for cocktails, that's like when Neil has to go out for brunch.
I prefer cocktails.
Hey, how long have you?
That turned out to be one of the best days of our lives, though.
That I remember up until that one part. Right.
So, I guess another dumb question. So your typical home bar.
Yes.
Like what should everybody have in their home bar? Shut up, Randy.
What?
like your typical... Hey, I'm a dude. I want to be able to make a drink every now and then. What is the quintessential ingredients of a home bar that everyone should have?
So I would say it's find your favorite cocktail. So find that one drink that you like making that you're good at, and then get a good liquor to go with it.
Ah,
so,
see, it's, I've always, like, every bachelor needs to have, like, the dish.
Your go-to drink.
Like, the one dish that, like, you know, no matter, I can walk in the door and 20 minutes later, I got something that's going to impress her.
And, well, because once you have
I like Crown, I like ginger ale, so there we go. I got my drink.
So once you have that one drink that you really like, then you can branch out from there. You know, you don't want to get a million spirits in your bar. You want to get stuff you're going to use. So, yeah, keep going. I've had this already, so keep passing. There's a series of...
Oh, he's even got his own little branded glasses, there's, in case you missed that.
You did not have your...
It's nickdrinks.com.
Absolutely.
Wow. Not .co?
Yeah, so there's actually there's a book, and I want to say it's a website too, called 20 Bottle Bar. And that is a great list of things that are easy to get. They're not super pricey. And that'll actually be something you can start.
We're doing a toast first before we drink this?
Please, yeah.
Because for what here's how that – Dwight said, shut up, Randy. So I was, you know, having the engineers over for a couple drinks. And I was like, oh, Randy, like, you like tiki bars. What do you want me to get, like, to be able to, like, let you make a couple of tiki drinks?
Can we toast real quick before you tell the hour-long story?
No. It's a really short story. He sent me a three-page long list of stuff he wanted me to pick up. Oi. Oh, do your
toast.
Cheers.
And tiki's
toast,
tough,
toast
too.
To Nick.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
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 Yeah. Cheers.
It's fun seeing what you're doing, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Tiki's a tough one. I mean, if you do like tiki, you can do that. But the problem is a lot of tiki has a lot of ingredients.
Yeah. No, I sent him a list of stuff, and he didn't get any of it.
See, my problem with tiki is, and I like tiki, fancy glass. Ooh, it's got a frowny face. Ooh, there's the slush puppy ice in it.
Sure.
Fine. Three sips, and I'm done.
Because a lot of them have high-proof rum.
It took a half an hour to get it to my – $15 and it's gone in three sips.
Yeah, go to Mutiny, go to Lost River.
I've been
let
to both.
Them do that.
I've been to both.
Yeah, let them make those drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do it at Randy's.
Oh,
house.
No, I'm not doing it at Randy's.
I have the ingredients. I've been stocking up my bar.
So a couple other things for your home bar. Fresh juices. You know, it goes a long way to have fresh juice as to go, opposed to getting bottled stuff. If you ever do a side-by-side of fresh.
So it's all about timing, though, with that. Like, it's okay. Like, I know I'm having people over.
Yep.
I'm going to go get fresh juice.
Yes.
Because you're not just going to,
And it doesn't stay. In fact, there are bartenders that say that lime juice starts going bad immediately after it's juiced.
Absolutely.
So if you try fresh lemon versus that bottled little green thing, it's gross. I mean, it's such a big difference.
A huge difference.
So that is one thing. If you like martinis and vermouth goes bad. Keep that in a fridge.
Yep.
And if you've had it for longer than 3 months, pitch it.
Pickle juice and vodka.
You
martinis.
And your Polish martinis.
It's Polish. I make it for my wife and her sister.
Or,
I
mean, you know, the Nickelback, which was the
Pickleback.
No.
There's a Nickelback?
No, the Nickelback, which we made with Jameson and the pickle moonshine that's in the fridge that has pickles in it.
No.
Which is why it's called Nickelback, because it's a bad decision.
Nick, we're the guys that drink Kessler.
I know.
And Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I've recorded podcasts here.
this is very good.
I've been around you heathens.
I grabbed a bottle of Eldorado 3-year for the bar out front. So
that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is good. I like.
No, and I think – so getting quality spirits is also another thing. So, you know, stuff like Copper and Kings, they do great stuff. We are really blessed with some of the distilleries we have around here. Detroit City Distillery, Two James, Valentine, Iron Fish. Long road. I mean, we have so many great distilleries in Michigan. Just getting some of their products and experimenting with can really go a long way too.
Like I normally, like I'm, gin is usually not my thing. That's a good drink.
Well, and that.
Wait, this is, I'm looking at it. Yeah. Oh, you made this with gin. Yeah, I hate gin. This is an amazing drink though.
Gin has a lot of botanicals and it's very forward. So if you don't like that, try it in a mixed drink. That'll certainly help.
Last time I drank gin was Dollar Gin Night. Or dollar mixed drink night at Luna.
Okay.
The day before I went to Cedar Point.
So what was your go-to with gin? Was it gin and tonic?
Yeah, of course. Well, because they had Blacklight and it looked cool. That was.
It's the quinine.
Nick, I'm sorry. I'm just.
But that's what everyone drank in college. And a lot of people, because it was cheap and it was easy and you sounded cool because you're ordering gin. I think you can have gin, but it's all about balance. A great drink has great balance. And if all you can taste is the gin and you're not a gin fan, you're not going to like it.
No, it tasted like, I rubbed the pine tree air freshener on my tongue.
No, yeah, totally.
Try a different gin cocktail like this or Army Navy or something.
Negroni.
I would drink this all day.
Good.
Not all day.
No, literally. No, you wouldn't. You would drink it for an hour right. And then you'd be loud and then you'd be demanding PBR and Kessler.
That's fine. Let's I can live with that.
And Jaeger.
So this has the chocolate liqueur in it, but yes. It doesn't taste like chocolate. Like you get the subtle hints.
No, not at
you
all. Don't yeah.
Very, very,
like a little bit yeah. aftertaste yeah. a yep. little bit.
Very easily balanced. And this kind of replaces your typical white cacao. That okay. would probably be on like your grandma's bar. This is going to be a little less sweet, a little more complex. And again, it's going to be a high quality ingredient kind of upping your bar game.
This is a fancy cocktail. It tastes like Art Deco in a glass.
And the glass helps too. The Marie Antoinette glass.
I hate you for saying that.
God bless it. Turn off his mic.
All right, so back to the
yes,
event.
Yes, yes.
So, like, when does it start? When does it end?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be? All that fun stuff.
So all week we have events happening. So go check out the website and the Facebook page to see the special events. But then that big cocktail so classic.
And the website is?
Is DetroitCocktail.com, and it's Facebook.com/DetroitCocktail.
Okay.
But yeah, then the big event happens on Friday the 4th, Cocktail Classic. You're going to see those 45 different bars. It's 6 o'clock for VIP, which gets you 15 drinks. And that's a lot of drinks. And then 7 o'clock.
No, is it 15 drinks, tastings. Drinks or shots?
Tastings. Not even shots,
tastings.
Probably.
It's like
that's what killed. Like yeah. the stupid. Like, I've gone to like the whiskey events down at Eastern Market and that kind of stuff. And you walk in and they give you like 20 tickets, yeah. which winds up like, and you're like,
You can't.
There's no way. Like I'll be dead.
Yeah. Well,
aren't they just kind of like the serving spoon at Baskin Robbins, though? It's not like they're not giving you a drink.
But you don't have to finish it either. No, you can just.
You give me a shot, I'm going to drink it. Like, let's. Yeah, yeah. There are rules.
No, you swish it in your mouth and you spit it out like a clown.
No. Yeah,
and then talk about the characteristics of the desk. That's no?
Very smoky and woody. No.
Swish, 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 spit. No, I'm going
to
drink it.
Well, and also because you guys are listening, and if you go to my website, if you use the code NICKDRINKS at checkout, you will get $10 off.
Oh, nice.
So it's typically $65.
So and where is the event?
Eastern Market, downtown Detroit.
Okay.
Two sheds, Shed 5 and Shed 3.
Oh, cool.
And then connecting the two sheds is going to be food trucks.
Ah, smart.
Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, there's 45 bars that are going to be there, and there's actually 5 bars that are brand new. So this kind of gives you a sneak peek to some new things that are coming.
Very cool.
Hammer and Nail. You guys, the Plaza building, as you kind of drive down downtown, you see that little animated neon sign.
Been there forever.
There's going to be a bar that's opening up in there.
What?
The details are like very, very limited. So that they're going to be there. Carl's just opened up. They're Kate's new upscale diner. They make these great Boilermaker cocktails. Magnet Detroit is opening actually this Friday. That's Tekoi's new venture where it's going to be kind of a veggie-focused place. So maybe they're going to have some veggie cocktails. Plum Market.
What's a veggie cocktail?
I don't know.
Something you will never drink.
Because I've had – every vegetarian place I've been to has had bad cocktails. So I'm really putting a lot of faith in
Magnet. I like the cucumber stuff.
Yeah, if it's not like you're drinking a swamp. Like you really got to strain the crap out of cucumber because if you get too much grit and pulp in there – that's
all right,
not
no,
a
no,
good cocktail.
No, he likes cucumber.
Kettle One.
Yeah.
Or Hendrix. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cucumber is great. It goes good with gin.
Yeah. I was doing Moscow Mules with the cucumber Kettle One.
Sure.
That was phenomenal.
Try with gin. Try swapping it
Fair.
Out.
Fair.
Single Barrel Social just opened up in Brighton. They have a really, really
Say
aggressive.
Say that 3 times.
Single Barrel Social.
Judicial
Single Barrel Social.
Shoulder surgery.
They're doing keg
Nobody
cocktails.
Nobody didn't think about that one too much.
They're doing bottle cocktails. They're doing non-alcoholic cocktails, which is a really big trend right now.
Isn't that called pop?
Well, here's the thing, though. There's a lot of people that can't drink. So you think of people who are recovering. You think of people that are maybe pregnant. They still want to have fun with their friends. So I really like that trend.
So aren't those just mocktails?
Well, they're getting away from that term because there's still a lot of complexity that's going into them. So they're low ABV, no ABV. No alcohol cocktails. They've kind of gotten away from the mocktail term.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's offensive.
The more you know.
It's 2019. It's offensive.
I don't know.
So, yeah. And, you know, what's also interesting is when you go to these tasting events, they all have to have a liquor license to serve. And the typical way you do that is by partnering with a nonprofit.
Yep.
Nonprofits get 12 licenses per year. And so they are going to be partnering with Oats, which is offering alternative therapy with smiles. So all these different events have to get that great
I
nonprofit.
Feel like that's every bar.
Yeah. Well, all these offset events.
No, just every bar is offering alternative
smiles. Yes.
Yeah.
So every bar goes to Oats. Yeah.
No, very cool. That's so I'm guessing that a portion of the proceeds of all this.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's all that partnership.
It's kind of like poker night. Like the house gets like 10% or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to work out that deal. So like if you guys did an event, you'd have to partner up with a nonprofit.
Yeah. Well, we are one.
JVS Human Services is always ready for you.
There you go. That's the partner right there, JVS. Ah.
So have you used any of your licenses before?
We haven't, so we have to have that conversation.
All right, let's start cards.
The year's almost over, so we've got, 3 months to use 12 of them?
Oktoberfest for another 2 weeks.
Challenge accepted.
Right. Hey, so DetroitCocktail.com, NickDrinks.com. Yep. Appreciate you bringing out mini bar for us.
And, yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Great
good
drinks,
seeing you again.
Even Thank though you didn't count right, but they were perfect.
I know it's typical. Find me on YouTube too, and you guys are going to give away some tickets, right?
We are. So we're going to do that figure it out on the Facebook page.
Awesome.
We'll post something tomorrow. I think I have a fun idea to make that happen. So yeah,
perfect.
Awesome. But hey, we're going to wrap things up for episode 315 of the one and only IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank Paul from JVS Human Services. Find him online at jvshumanservices.org. Thanks to Nick Drinks, Nick. NickDrinks.com. Also like to thank our sponsor, PlanetM.com. Thank you for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo, hold up. Time out. Time out. Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Bear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.